Luke 14, 25 through 33 is where our message is taken this morning. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing through to start us off, and then we'll go back over it. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple." This is one of the harder kind of sayings that Jesus said, but it's an important one, and it's a good one for us to listen to and to pay attention. A lot of times we hear the gospel message. And I think I've even preached a little bit on the cost of discipleship before. That was one of my favorite theology books, had that title, The Cost of Discipleship. And it was kind of pushing back against this way of sharing the gospel that we've had in the past that just tells everybody, it's free, right? God's love is free. Salvation is free. All you have to do is accept it. That is true to an extent. God's love, God's grace is free. But when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die, right? That's a quote from from The Cost of Discipleship. And it refers to Jesus saying these words, "Take up your cross and follow me," right? And right, if any man loves his life, he will lose it. But if any man loses his life for my sake, he will find it. When Christ calls us, he asks us to put to death that part of us that is all about us. And that's not easy. That's the call to repentance, essentially, is the call to turn away from our own desires, our own ambitions, our own agendas, and follow Jesus. Turn in his direction and go towards him. Popping back to the beginning of what we read here, verse 26, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." First, I want to call attention to the fact that this verse clearly illustrates why we can't just take every individual verse literally, because this verse contradicts the majority of what Jesus says. Right? Jesus calls us first to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? And then he goes further and calls us to love even our enemies, right? Jesus, his love is broad and encompassing and does not exclude anybody. Jesus does not call you to stop loving the people that are closest to you, the people that are dearest to you. What is Jesus calling us to in this verse then? Jesus is calling us to recognize that even in that greatest commandment, there's an order to it, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. It's tagged along with it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. This means you should love yourself and you should love everybody around you, even up to and including your enemies. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan where Jesus said, be like that Samaritan, that guy that we Jews, right, the Samaritans, we don't like them. We don't get along with them. But he knew how to be a good neighbor. He knew how to love like God called him to love. And that's what you need to be like too, loving even your enemies. But we love our mothers and our fathers, our brothers and our sisters. We love our wife and our children and even our own lives because of our love for God who loved us first. It is out of our love for God that all of our love is meant to flow. This goes back probably more than a year ago. I preached a message and I brought to your attention this monk, and I forget his name right now, but maybe you'll remember the different stages of love that you go through, right? You love God for your own sake, right? When you first come to the faith, right? You say, okay, I love God because he can help me out. And that's a good starting place because it's true. God loves you and he wants good things for you. He wants to bless you. But we learn from that and eventually we go on to love others for God's sake. And we learn to love God for his own sake, because he is good. And ultimately, it comes back around, and we are able to learn to love ourselves for God's sake. We can take care of ourselves. We can know what is good and right. We can train ourselves in the Spirit to serve God well. If we love ourselves for our own sake, what are the things that we do? We get whatever we can get. Whatever our bodily desires tell us is good. We grab the ice cream out of the freezer and just eat it, right? That's one way to do it. Or maybe, you know, I want other people to see me well, and so I exercise so that my body looks good for other people. Things like that. Everybody has their own different things. Maybe even I'll work on my sense of humor, or I'll cut other people down because that makes me look good in the eyes of other people. And then maybe something deep down says, even with all of that, who am I? What am I? And maybe as we look out and we see the world around us, we can realize how small we are and where we're just a speck in this whole world. We're just one of several billion at this point. And another option at this point is to, you know, be overwhelmed and to self-deprecate and to say, I'm nothing. But God says, no, you're my child. You are worth me sending my own son for. And so when we think of that, and we read, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even their own life, we read that in the light of the love of God, who sent his own son because of his love for you and me. The call is for us to have an appropriate understanding of what love is. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. It is a call to give up everything that we hold dear, because there is a pearl of great price out there that is worth it all. And it costs everything to attain that pearl. The author G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as it has been found difficult and left untried." And it's because of passages like this that that's what he's talking about. It's because some people come to Christianity and think, this is supposed to solve all my problems. But it's supposed to just do it without anything from me. It's supposed to do it without any effort on my part. And the effort that it requires is one of the harder things there is to do, and that's to have faith. That's to put things in God's hands. That's what this altar is all about. It's a symbol these days of where we come and we lay things down before God. It's one thing to add your tithes and offerings, and it's good and helpful and important for God's kingdom. But what God really wants is you. He really wants you. He really wants all of you. And the question that Jesus poses in this passage is, can you give it all? Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Will you let go and pay the cost for this pearl of great price? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Brothers and sisters, it is no surprise that many people in the early church and even today took vows of poverty. Christ often said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. We recognize today that he didn't demand that of everybody, but he demanded that of everybody's soul. He demands that of your spirit. Christ means God's anointed king. It means Christ being the Lord of your life. And having a Lord means listening and following what the Lord is asking of you. We can look back at the passage we read earlier in Philemon and think about what that meant. How Onesimus was a slave. He had a master. And how he wanted to go his own way and he ran away. And he found out he was still a slave to sin and death. And how he found that allowing Jesus to be the Lord of his life was better than anything else. And so he submit himself to the rule of Jesus. He put himself under. He put himself He put himself under the Apostle Paul and submitted to him even. And he willingly carried Paul's letter back to his former master, who had every right under Roman law to say, well, you're still my slave. I'm going to put you back in chains. But both Onesimus and Paul recognized that they had all already died. They had all already given their lives to Jesus Christ and were all made alive again in him. And so while this may have been an affront to Philemon's pride, and this may have been a terrible risk for Onesimus to take, and it may have cost Paul quite a bit, as if you remember, he offered to pay for whatever it was, right? Paul is saying, as we owe everything to Jesus Christ, let us recognize that now we can deny ourselves. We can hate our own lives, not demand our rights, but instead walk as free people in the Lord because of who he is and what he has done for us. And so, brothers and sisters, today, that's the simple challenge. That's the challenge of Jesus Christ. Give it up. Give it all up and follow him. Lay it all down at the altar. The altar is open. And as we go to prayer and as we go to song, feel free to come up and lay it down again.